إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد. My brothers and sisters, Allah سبحانه وتعالى in Surah Al-Anfal, Allah سبحانه وتعالى said, وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرًا عَزِيمًا. Allah سبحانه وتعالى said, and know that your wealth, your possessions, and your children are a trial. They are a fitna. They are a test. And that surely with Allah is a great reward. In Surah At-Taghabun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwwan lakum, fahdharuhum. وَإِنْ تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah said, O you who believe, surely and truly and verily, among your wives and your children, there are enemies for you. عَدُوًا لَكُمْ. They are your enemies. Therefore, beware of them. But if you pardon them and overlook and forgive their faults, then verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oft forgiving and most merciful. I remind myself and you that it is a strange situation with us, with a lot of us, that we seem to take the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and convert them into a curse for ourselves. Now in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying that every wife and husband and every child is an enemy. But to give you some examples, you have, for example, people who are unmarried. And we have plenty of them around here. And then they come and tell you, Shaykh, please make dua, I should get married. I'm trying to find a wife, I can't find a wife, and so on and so on. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him a wife. What is the first thing that happens when he gets a wife, when he gets married? The first thing that happens is he stops coming to the masjid. So now, before he got married, he was always, you know, down, lying down on in sujood before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking for a wife. So now he's got a wife. Now he's lying down in sujood before his wife. Allah knows best what he's doing. So the point is, that here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave you a ni'mah, who gave you something which is halal, alhamdulillah, and which you wanted. And what did you do? You converted that into a curse, because that keeps you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Children, same thing. They don't have children, and both husband and wife, they are praying tahajjud, they are praying this wazifa, that wazifa, going and praying in the masjid and fasting, and Allah knows what. Ya Allah, please give us children, please give us children. Then the moment the child comes, first casualty is salah. Why? Because, my child kept me up all night. Poor child is not, is just born a few days ago, and you now want to blame the child because you can't go for salah. How bad is that? So it was better that you didn't have children, because then you would have been lying in sujood till the day you die. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have given you Jannah. But now, you are using the children as an excuse, as if it is an excuse, to stay away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Same thing, expands, children grow up, you don't do proper tarbiyah of them, the children want this, children want that, and so on and so on, and your job does not give you the opportunity, you don't have enough income. Then somebody will come along and say, oh, I believe your child, needs a cell phone. Here is a cell phone. And so this is my work. Please do this work for me. So now all kinds of bribery and corruption and haram income starts, because you feel that you have to upkeep your children and your family. So now what happened? The potential blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Salih Aulad, is one of the Sadaqatul Jariyah for the person. Good children are things which, where the benefit of that comes to you even after you die, if you bring them up properly, they are, you know, good Muslims, they are praying for you, they are making dua for you. This is good for you even after you die. But then, instead of that, what do? You convert those children into a problem for you. Allah did not give you money, you had no job, and you were praying, you know, all five salawat in the masjid and going for every halaqa and reading Quran every day and fasting on Mondays and Fridays and Thursdays, everything, whatever can be done. Ya Allah, please get me a job. Ya Allah, make my business successful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets you a nice job, you know, good company and all that, big salary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you great success in your business. Then what happens? Then you spend 5 lakhs of rupees and you invite a singer from Bombay to come and do a whole night of ghazal in your farmhouse, and you sit and throw 100 rupee notes or 500 rupee notes, I don't know what, on those singers, so that you know, listen to her voice and everyone swaying in time to the music. Now, why did that happen? Because Allah gave you the money. Right? Allah gave you the money. I'm not exaggerating, you know. All of this is happening. Actually, much more than this is happening. If Allah had not given you money, if Allah had kept you in a state of need, where you had to wait and, you know, see whether this relative gives you zakat and that relative gives you zakat, if you were living off the zakat of people, you would not have been able to do this. Because you didn't have the money to do this. You don't even have money to eat. So where is the money for singers? But because Allah gave you, and Allah gave you plenty, Alhamdulillah, He gave you enough for your needs, for your desires, Allah gave you even more for 7 generations, 10 generations. So what do? You do this. Allah gives you issues of marriages. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets you a nice spouse. So what do? The first thing, opening ceremony, is a wedding that is full of haram. Full of all kinds of israf, full of showing off to everybody and his grandmother. So many lakhs in flowers, so many lakhs in this, so many lakhs in that, so many kinds of food and Allah knows what, and music and dancing. I believe that's the latest one nowadays. So what have you done? This is what the Quran is saying. This is what Allah is saying. Allah is saying, do not take the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and convert them into a curse for yourself. In the seerah, there is this very story of great ibrat, a story from which we need to take a lesson. There was a sahabi who used to live quite close to the masjid, and he would pray always with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one day he came and said, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should give me wealth. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't make this dua. I won't make this dua, don't ask me for this dua. He said, no, Ya Rasulullah, please make this dua for me, that Allah must make me wealthy. So because he insisted, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this dua. He said, may Allah make you wealthy. Now this man was he had sheep and so on, he had animals. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then started making him, Allah made him wealthy, so his sheep multiplied. They became so many that he could not stay near the masjid anymore because there was not enough space. So he had to go and stay far away outside of Medina. And his flocks kept multiplying. He had sheep, he had whatever else he had, camels and God knows what. And they kept multiplying and he became wealthier and wealthier, and he had thousands of sheep and whatnot, and he got big lands for that and grazing. All this. Then time came for payment of zakat. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's zakat collectors went to his place. And when they calculated the zakat, first of all, before that, so when he moved away, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't see him. So he asked the people, he said, where is so and so? They said, Ya Rasulullah, he is not living here anymore. He has gone far away because he has all these flocks of sheep and so on. So they can't be accommodated here. So he went far away, so he can't come for Salah. So he is not praying here. So then the zakat collectors went. So when the zakat collectors went and when they counted all his sheep and so on and they calculated zakat, obviously it was a you know, big amount because he is wealthy. So when they came and told him that this is how much you have to give, the man said, this is not fair. You know, I worked so hard for all this wealth. I mean, this didn't come just like that. And now I have to give so much. So the zakat collectors, they advised him. They said, look, don't be ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is fard on you. Give zakat. He said, no, I can't give. So they left him. And they went away. When they came back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they reported. They said, Ya Rasulullah, so and so refused to give zakat. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what did he say? He said, you know, this is his effort, his work. He worked so hard. Now he has to give this zakat. He can't give it. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say anything. He remained silent. This man now, after these people left and went away, he suddenly realized that this is something which he has done which is wrong. He should not have done this. So he took all those sheep and whatnot which was due for zakat, and he brought them to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam the following day. When he came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he brought all this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, take it back. Allah and his Nabi are not in need of your zakat. He said, take it and go back. So he could not discharge his obligation of paying zakat because the Prophet ﷺ didn't accept. The following year, before the time of zakat was due, Rasulullah ﷺ passed away. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the Khalifa. So this man came at the correct time. He didn't even wait for the zakat collectors to come. He brought whatever was due. And he came to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and he said, this is my zakat. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not accept it from you, so Abu Bakr cannot accept it from you. Take it back. And the story goes that this man went from Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's time and so on. Nobody accepted his zakat and he died without paying zakat. Now, why did that happen? Because of the misuse of wealth. Not because of wealth. There were other people who were wealthy. Osman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu was wealthy. He used his wealth in a way which became a ni'mat for him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asking for people to donate for the ghazwa of Tabuk. Osman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu comes and says, Ya Rasulullah, I will provide 100 mounted soldiers with all, 100 mounted soldiers with everything, with their mounts, with armor and so on and so on. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alhamdulillah, give more. He said, another 100 soldiers. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alhamdulillah, give more. He said, Ya Rasulullah, one more 100 soldiers. Right, with all their armor, everything, weapons. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give more. Osman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu went home. He came back with 2 bags of gold coins and he poured them in the lap of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his fingers through the gold coins and picked them up like that, and the gold coins running through his fingers. And he said, after this, Osman can do no wrong in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Allah has forgiven Osman ibn Affan. And after this, Osman ibn Affan cannot do anything wrong in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. So here is an example of somebody who had wealth and who used this wealth in order to gain the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, you have an example of somebody who also had wealth and he used this wealth to gain the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why I remind myself and you, let us not convert our wealth and our position. The same thing happens also with authority. It's not only wealth, authority. Allah has given you authority over people. You've got servants, you've got employees and so on and so forth. The way you talk to them, the way you address them, just because the man is working for you, you treat him like a dog. You don't even talk to him respectfully, you never say salam to him. You curse him, you use bad language, you shout at him. All of this people do. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you are sitting and if one of your employees, whoever is under your authority, if he comes, if you make him stand in order to show your authority, he said the one who does that will search for and find his own place in Jahannam. Out of arrogance. How can you sit in my presence? With that kind of attitude, if you make the person stand in your presence, you don't offer him a seat, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you will go and look for your seat inside Jahannam, in the fire. Yeah. Now why is that happening? Because Allah gave you authority over people. Now you also had a chance, when you had authority over people, to treat them like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to treat people. How did he treat people? Who had more authority than the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself? Who can have more authority than Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself? But he treated the smallest of people with the greatest of respect. He never treated anybody arrogantly. He never shouted at anybody. He never, question of cursing and beating and so on does not even arise. Because he didn't even talk loudly to anybody. And that's why I remind myself and you, Alhamdulillah, if Allah has given us wealth, if Allah has given us health, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us authority, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us good wives and children, good families, let us use them to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah loves the man who wakes up for tahajjud and wakes his wife up. And Allah loves the woman who wakes up for tahajjud and wakes up her husband. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if the wife does not wake up, then sprinkle some water on her face. For today's people, I have to add to that and say, sprinkle some water on her face and run like hell, because the reaction that will happen. So, the point I'm saying is that there are both options. We can use what Allah has given us, the ni'mat, to thank Allah and to go close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or you can use those ni'mat in the opposite direction. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the good sense not to turn the blessings of that He has given us into a curse for ourselves. And instead to use the blessings for our own benefit and to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.